Tell me when you're ready.
Ready. All right, want to welcome everyone to the Landmark Baptist Church on this February the 11th, Lord's Day Sunday morning. Some people call it Super Bowl Sunday. I certainly would not want to interfere with God's name on a Sunday. They made a bad choice having Super Bowl on Sunday. That ought to be Super Bowl Monday as far as I'm concerned.
It's the 12th,
brother. The 12th? All right, 12th.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm not in charge, amen. But this February the 12th, Lord's Day Sunday morning, like I said, they don't reverence God like they used to. All the businesses used to shut down on Sunday. there was more reverence for God in days gone by than there is now. But God has not changed.
Amen.
And even though this country has changed, the Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, and that includes America. And God's blessing has been upon America, and I do believe continues unto this day upon America. We was talking about the goodness of God, and God sure has been good to America. Blessed it.
Yes,
I noticed this morning they've shot down three unidentified objects since the balloon.
Yeah.
So a total of four objects have been shot down. One in Alaska, one in Canada, and one in Montana. I believe that's right. But that's uncertain of the hour we're living in. And I'm glad God has made provisions for such a time as this.
Yeah.
I'm glad there is a safe place. My little boy, when he was just a towhead, my mother had him a little safe place and he could run and get underneath their kitchen table. And whatever he done, he could be spared. And we sitting there enjoying a cup of coffee, and here come my son, slid underneath that kitchen table, and I looked at Mom, she looked at me, and so we took a tour of the house, and he knocked something over and broke it. But God made us a safe place.
Yes. Amen.
And that safe place is in His Son Jesus.
Yes. Thank you, man. Thank you, sweet.
Oh my.
Thank you,
makes
sweet.
Me sleep better.
Yes.
Makes me enjoy the days that God gives me to know that it's well with my soul.
Yes.
Boy, I would to God that America could be saved. I wished it had the mind of Christ. I wished it had a discernment of the times that's going on right now. I'm seeing a lot of scripture being fulfilled. We want to go to the Lord in prayer before we get in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Exodus chapter 2. We've got a lot of people that are sick, a lot of people that their health's in decline. We want to remember them this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. Lord, we know not only that you hear prayer, but God, you honor prayer. I just read this morning about Hezekiah turning to you and weeping and, Lord, asking you to remember him. And, and Lord, you did remember him and you healed him and gave him 15 more years of life. And Lord, with you there's mercy. With you there's compassion. With you, Lord, there's help and hope. And we pray, Father God, this morning, first of all, you'd forgive us of our sins.
Yes, Father.
Wash and cleanse us.
Yes, Lord.
David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he said, the Lord will not hear me. And I pray to have a clean heart. I pray to be cleansed. I pray to be acceptable in your sight. Lord, I come to your behalf of Brother Mark, Sister Kay, Hurt, Lord. Sister Bonnie mentioned that they're both not well. Health issues, Lord. We just put them in your tender care. You're the good Lord, you're the good shepherd. You love your sheep. You're the great physician.
Yeah.
Lord, you come to us in our hour. You're the good Samaritan, Lord, pours in the oil and wine. And we come to you on behalf of Brother Mark and Sister Kay. We love Brother Mark.
Yeah.
We love Sister Kay. We pray your best blessings upon them, Lord. Pray, Lord, you'd send your word and heal them, Lord. We pray, Father God, Lord, for Patrick and Sarah, Lord, their whole family. All sick, Lord, with a strep throat. Lord, a lot of sickness going around. I don't believe it's by accident. I do believe, Lord, that a lot of people in this country, Lord, want to reduce the population. They're globalists. They think they can do something and they really can't do anything. And they won't accept your help. And they just make matters worse. And Lord, I pray for them. And I pray for Sarah. I pray for Patrick and their children, their family. Lord, I just pray, God, Lord, you would heal them of that sore throat. Heal them of that strep throat.
Yeah.
Lord, get them well. We love them. We're so thankful for Brother Patrick, Sister Sarah, and their family. What a blessing they are to this church.
Yes.
Lord, just pray for the whole family. Lord, we hadn't seen Brother Denny and Sister Sue in quite a while. We want to pray for them. I hope everything's well with them, Lord. We love them. We want to pray for James and Star.
Yeah.
James Jr., Lord, we love them. We miss them. Hadn't seen them in a while. Now I pray for Mark Miranda, Lord, to keep coming. Lord, what a blessing. What a blessing, Lord, that was when they showed up. And Lord, we pray that continued blessing upon them, Father. We pray for Caden and Tavian. Pray for I think it's Caden's boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Pray for her, Lord. That was a blessing having her here. Lord, we just pray your blessing upon your children. We don't even know the need. We pray for Sister Joanne Smith. Lord, we know right now, Sister Joanne, wish she's here right now.
Yeah.
Oh, how we miss her, how we love her. So thankful, Lord, to hear her sing. So thankful, Lord, to hear her shout. Lord, we pray for her. Pray for Brenda Goth. Lord, not been feeling well. Just seem like, Lord, we're all getting older, Lord. We're all, Lord, closer to the finish line. Lord, we just pray that in your tender care, Lord, you could sustain us and help us, Lord, to finish our course.
Yeah.
Lord, to finish with honor and with praise and glory from the one, Lord, that made us and saved us. We pray for that, Lord.
Yes.
Bless this lesson and bless the services here today at Landmark. Lord, we're just a little church trying to do a big work. Lord, we need your help. We pray for it, Father. I prayed earnestly this morning somebody might get saved today, Lord. And Lord, if you be willing, Lord, it'll be done here today. We know that salvation's of the Lord. Jonah told us that. We sure would like to see somebody get saved. And Lord, open our eyes. We might see the fields white in the harvest.
Yeah.
Lord, we might get a burden, Lord, for our neighbors. And Lord, for Lord our family members. Lord, help us, I pray. I pray for Brother Donnie's daughter, Chelsea. Lord, got her handful of them.
Yeah.
Two little grandbabies, Lord. I've been praying for a long time. You'd put it in Chelsea's heart. Get them little girls in church. That'd
yeah.
be the best thing she could do.
Yeah,
we pray for her, Lord. And Lord, we ask all these favors in Jesus' blessed holy name. Your will be done in all of them. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're in Exodus chapter 2. God here is raising up a man. Take the place of Joseph and Jacob. Jacob done well. Joseph done well. And we start at verse number 1. Says, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. Now you're talking about yoked together, right?
Yeah.
This is not unequally yoked together. They're both of the line of the priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a man here that's a priest. He takes a wife that's a daughter of the priesthood. Now you're talking about a good marriage right there. It's as good as I see in here. Fleshly speaking, this is about as good as it gets.
Yeah.
And the woman conceived. You know, I should say this, I guess. I don't know why it is like this, but it does seem like my daughter, she was married 2 times. Both of them was terrible choices. She made the best of it. But it seemed like instead of making good decisions, we're more prone to make bad decisions. Both of these men that my daughter married weren't outstanding, weren't church going, weren't saved, weren't men of God, and she paid the price for that. I went through 2 divorces, heart broke. I got her Bible at the house. I'm doing my devotion with her Bible. Some of the notations she put in there break your heart. How she had faith in God.
Oh, man.
But you know what? Faith in God is good. But when you make bad decisions, I'll just tell you right now, we reap what we sow.
Amen.
But this man here, this Levi, he made a good decision. Boy, he chose him a good wife. Verse 2, said, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. You see that king of Egypt, he had taught that he wanted the man child to be put to death. And he charged all his people, last verse of the last chapter, said, every son that's born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Well, Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, that she wasn't afraid of the king's commandment, and she hid him for 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Cattails are kind of like what flags are.
Right.
They grow right on the edge of the water there. Boy, good fishing. You throw that out there in front of them cattails, you can about always catch one. But anyway, here, you notice this mention of this ark. We've already heard about an ark in Genesis chapter number 6.
Yeah.
And here's another ark that preserves someone's life. I know 8 souls were saved thanks to an ark. And here you got one soul that's saved thanks to an ark. And you notice she pitched it. And God told Noah to build that ark. And he pitched it within and without. And she dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put that child therein and laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood far off. You know, I never did have no brothers and sisters. But if I did have a sister, I'd want one like this and that cared enough to keep an eye on me.
Yeah.
My parents got tired of hearing me wish for a brother and sister, and they adopted a young girl. Her name was Nancy. Boy, I love Nancy. I got in trouble. Nancy come down there and took up for me. I love Nancy. But it didn't work out. And the reason it didn't work out was because of my father.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Nancy. I'd give anything to find her, Dale Wood. I still remember her.
Wow.
I had a pair of little old cheap skates, and I was out there skating, and some boy come pushed me down, and Nancy come over and pushed him down, come over and picked me up. I never was so proud of anybody all my life.
You know her last name?
No, I don't. I tried. My family would not even give me a clue.
Okay.
But I would love to find her. I would.
Yeah.
She was, boy, she's like right here.
The technology we have this damn time, if you knew she was married and what her last name was, you could look her up, brother.
I'd give anything to find Nancy, just to see her one more time.
Would.
But here, Moses' sister Marion, she stood far off to wit, in other words, to see what would be done. If she's watching over her little brother.
That's right.
I know a brother's born for adversity, and it ain't always like this. Sometimes they fight. Rick was telling me, him, of course, he had a brother and 5 sisters. He said we fought like cats and dogs. And he said, I'm talking about we attacked one another with hatchets and knives and everything. But anyway, and one of them about cut one of them's finger off. But he said, here, Marion, Moses' sister, she's watching out for little Moses here. Verse 5. And you know, Lord set all this up.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, I wept reading over this lesson this morning. I mean, God's already got Moses in the world, and he's already got plans for Moses. Ain't got a clue. You know, I ain't got a clue most of the time what God's will is for my life. I do seek after it. I do try to find the will of God. I really do. But I don't have a clue. God's already got this all planned out.
Yes, he does.
Here comes Pharaoh's daughter. Oh my, this is deep right here.
Yeah.
Here comes Pharaoh's daughter down to wash herself. You know the timing of this.
That's right.
She just happens to come to this place right here.
Yeah.
And she comes down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walk along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Boy, God's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, God's providing for Moses. He's just a babe,
yeah.
Bonnie, in an ark.
Yeah.
He's as helpless as he can be.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, buddy, God's goodness already. Well, the maid went and fetched it. And when Pharaoh's daughter had opened it, she saw the child.
Mm-hmm.
And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him. Woo!
Yeah.
Thank God for compassion.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. No, it's verse 23. Verse 22 said, it's of the Lord's mercies were not consumed, his compassions fail not. Or maybe that is 22. And then 23 says, the mercy near of morning. But anyway, she had compassion on this little Hebrew child. She said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Now here comes Mary, and she springs at this. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? That sounds pretty good, didn't it? But the timing of it, she's right there watching over a little brother, sees this opportunity. Verse 8, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.
Amen.
And the woman took the child and nursed it. I want you to know, Moses got his mother back.
That's right.
Mary got her brother back.
Right.
Verse 10, and the child grew. Most children, that's what they do. They grow up. They don't stay children.
Yeah.
I know we'd like for them to.
All this happened in his life in 3 months.
Yeah.
That's something. I mean, he was helpless. He was just a little child. But his mama got him back.
Got him back.
Oh, man.
And the child.
All in this, boy.
And the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And he became her son. Now, he's in royalty now. We're talking about it don't stink no more. I'm talking about we got servants and maids.
Yeah.
And he's not got any want of anything. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water, which is what the name Moses means, drawn out.
Yeah.
And it came to pass in those days. Now Moses, he's fixing to identify himself with his brothers.
Yeah.
It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown. Like I said, verse 10 talks about the child grew, but Moses, he's grown now. He's a man.
Yeah.
But he went out unto his brethren. Now they don't know him, but he knows them.
Yeah.
And this difference, they don't want anything to do with Moses. He wants something to do with them, but they want nothing to do with him because he's part of Pharaoh's family now. He's the hierarchy, and they're the servants, they're the slaves. But thank God, like Jesus, Moses is interested in them.
Mm-hmm.
Come down here to see how it was going with them. And he looked on their burdens. I'm glad somebody looked on my burden one day.
Amen. Yeah.
Oh, my. He spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm glad, praise God, that Jesus... Boy, he has whooped the devil more than once over me.
Yeah.
And boy, he's took up for me more than once in my life that I can remember. But verse 12 said he looked this way and that way, and when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand.
Yeah.
Boy, boy, if God be for you, who can be against you?
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah. Verse 13, and when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. Boy, I don't know why we can't get along, but we certainly can't.
No, we can't.
And thank God we've got an advocate. Thank God we've got a, compassionate Savior. He sees two of them striving together, and he said unto them that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? Now, this is the one that started the whole thing. And Moses asked him, why are you smiting your brother here?
Yeah.
Verse 14, he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? Mm. And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known.
Yeah.
Now, Moses is a type of Christ. He even said that the Lord's going to raise up a prophet like unto me, and him shall you hear. And you can see the attributes of Jesus here in Moses here. He's seeing the wrong. He's trying to make it right. They don't want to make it right. They're putting him an accusation. Are you intending to kill me as you did the Egyptian? And Moses, now he's fearing. And he said, surely this thing is known. Verse 15, now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now Moses, he's on the run.
Yep.
But God's with him.
That's right.
I got blessed on this next verse right here.
Yeah.
I did. Now the priest of Midian, I want you to notice he had seven daughters, not seven sons.
Right.
I got a blessing over that. I mean, God had him a wife waiting.
Yep.
Yes, he did.
He got to choose out of seven for a wife.
Yeah, just think about it. Yeah, he did.
But the world would like to say he had seven sons. Moses found him a significant other. That just ain't the way God done this thing. God made a male and female, and God's got seven females waiting for this Moses, whom he's going to raise up and use to get his people out of Egypt.
Right.
They came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock, and the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. Good thing Moses was there. He ran these shepherds away and told them wait their turn. They was there first. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that you are come so soon today? Boy, that's a good father.
Yeah.
He asked the right question. And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. Now, like I said, this is a good father.
Mm-hmm.
Morning, Sister Sharon. He's going to ask another question here. He said unto his daughters, and where is he? Why is it ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. Now this is the priest of Midian. Moses is here running, on the run. He's done a good deed, and they just, for lack of better words, left him sitting. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, Reuel, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, I've been a stranger in a strange land. I just want you to know God has taken such good care of Moses. He's on the run, but he's not outrun the goodness of God. God's already got him a wife waiting. God's already got him some food. He said, call him that he may eat bread. And he's got a good meal. He's got a good wife. We're talking about Moses here. He's of the tribe of Levi. What's he get? A priest wife. And it came to pass, verse 23, in process of time. That's real key, that terminology, in process of time. Somebody said, where'd Cain get his wife? Good. Listen to this. in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, and in process of time. That's where Cain got his wife.
Yeah, that's right.
How much time is that? God elected not to write it in there, but that's it was right. Long enough Cain could find him a wife.
Yeah.
He was the mother of all living to the man. But that the king of Egypt died. Now see, Moses, he was fearful. He fled Egypt because of this Pharaoh. And verse 14, Moses feared. And when he heard that Moses had killed one of the Egyptians, well, he feared, he fled. And here he is now, the king of Egypt has died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up to God by reason of the bondage. Boy, won't you know, God's never very far.
No, he's not.
From a cry.
No, he's not.
One of the reasons he came.
Hi, Patrick.
One of the reasons he came to Sodom and Gomorrah was because of the cry of it. He said that cry went all the way up to heaven. That cry was a cry of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Little babies, little children being abused got the ear of God. And God's one formed the ear. And when their cry came up unto God by reason of bondage, verse 24, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Jacob, or with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob.
Yeah.
And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them.
Right.
Now they earned this bondage, but they're wanting some help now.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 1 of chapter 3, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And I saw a video one time on this mountain. It's huge. And it hadn't changed very much at all. All of the stuff mentioned here in this chapter still is like that. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. By the way, that's holy ground over there. They had to get a permit just to go in there and make this film. And I want you to know they was under guard. They had people with guns make sure they didn't desecrate any. A lot of signs were left there and stuff. A lot of rocks set up for altars and things. But it said the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, Moses needed this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll just tell you right now, what you need is what God will send to you.
Amen.
But Moses out there, he's tending sheep, he's tending the flock of Jethro, and this bush has got flame, and the bush is not consumed. And that got Moses' attention. Verse 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. See, God wants Moses' attention. And he's used this to get his attention. I know God got my attention through a little 8-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Come into the bedroom of his drunk daddy. And I'll be honest with you, I thought I was ready for anything. I knew, boy, I could just handle about any kind of an approach. That little 8-year-old boy, Sharon, tears dripping off his cheeks, his little lip a quivering, walked up to his drunk daddy, over 200-pound idiot. He walked up to his drunk daddy and said, Daddy, will you please go to church with me today? I have to admit, God got my attention to a little 8-year-old boy.
That's right.
I could have run any preacher off.
Yeah.
My wife, but that little 8-year-old boy, God used him to get my attention.
Mm-hmm.
When he did get my attention, I'll have to admit, I saw the real Eddie Wade. I'd been seeing what I wanted to see for 34 years. Mm-hmm. Now I saw something God wanted me to see. He wanted me to see what a failure I was. I wasn't a success. In my eyes, I was a success. But in God's eyes, I was a failure as a father, as a husband, even as a man himself. Yeah. But Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Yeah. Why the bush is not burnt.
Now God needs to use a 69-year-old man to get that son back in church.
Amen. I'm trying. He called me yesterday.
I know you are.
I'll have to admit. I pray for that little boy.
Yes.
I envision one day him preaching, me sitting on the front row, amen, and but God's got to make it. Psalms 127, verse 1 says, right. Except the Lord build the house, they that labor to build it labor in vain. I want God to do it. I'm praying.
Amen.
I'm standing in the gap. I'm interceding. I'm setting the example.
Yeah.
And he knows it. He knows it. He's got a lot of respect for his dad.
Yeah, I know he does.
But he's dragging them feet.
Yeah.
And I'm probably too much in a hurry, and he's probably taking too much time, but God will make a defining difference here.
Yes, he will.
Says here, verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses.
That's right.
And he said, here am I.
That's right.
I remember when God called me to preach.
Yeah.
It was the lowest place in my life. Everybody kept saying, God called you to preach. God called you to preach. God called you to preach. And I said, you know what? I said, you let God call me and I will. And I was just, for lack of better words, I wasn't in agreement with them. I just a good saved, joined the things of God.
Yeah.
Been saved for 4 years. My dad left my mother for another woman, biggest mistake he ever made, but he made it.
Yeah.
He admitted he made it. He said, I was a fool. I said, well, Dad, I agree with you. But anyway, he asked me to help him move his stuff out of their house. Me and him had built that house. Mama worshiped the ground. Dad walked away on him hand and feet. Wow. Never been a better wife.
Yeah.
I mean, buddy, I washed his feet. She'd do anything for him. Loved him. I was there a day. He left her. She begged him, Bobby, don't leave me. Please don't leave me. I love you.
Yeah.
Daddy said, I'm gone. And anyway, he asked me to move their stuff out, and we got it all loaded up. Went to an apartment. It was an upstairs apartment. And we went into that apartment. Daddy unlocked the door. We went into that empty room, and this woman showed up that Daddy left Mom for. He said, I'll be right back. Left me in that empty room by myself. And I was sitting in that empty, I wasn't sitting, there wasn't nothing to sit on. I was standing in that empty room, and somewhere I didn't want to be doing something I didn't want to do.
Right.
And in the silence of that empty room,
God spoke.
God spoke to me.
Amen.
I said, you let him tell me.
Yeah.
Bible says make your call and election sure.
Yeah,
God said, I want you to preach my word. Boy, I choked on the words of that.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, are you sure? And oh my, I'm still humbled today.
Yeah.
God did count me faithful, put me into ministry. And I've never have claimed to be anything except saved and called of God to preach.
Yeah.
Just a messenger boy, don't really have no horn to toot, don't really have nothing really to say good about Eddie Wade other than God has put his call upon me and I just tried to deliver the messages of God.
Yeah.
But here God calls out to Moses. Moses' answer is, here am I.
Yeah.
And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off of thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground.
Amen.
Well, I like that terminology, holy ground. You know, God's holy.
Yes.
In my opinion, this is holy ground right here.
Yes, it is.
God visits this place.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about God inhabits eternity, but he came down and walked in the midst of the Garden of Eden and in the cool of the day, and he's calling out to Adam. Adam's sin, he's over here hidden. God's not going to let him hide. God's calling him out. Going to help him. And I'm glad God didn't leave me in sin. I'm glad he called out to me. But God comes down. And when he comes down, wherever he is, it's holy ground. And Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, He said, "Lo, I'm in the midst. This is holy ground as far as I'm concerned."
That's right.
I mean, I feel pretty good here this morning. I'll tell you right now, that's a good Sunday school lesson.
Yeah, yeah.
Brother Eddie.
Yeah.
Years and years and years ago, my grandparents, Russell and Pauline Hart, God led them to some property, some Plano Road down at Bowling Green.
Yeah.
And
I've been there. Me and Donna have.
Amen.
And when they stepped on that, God told them to take off their shoes. They were standing on holy ground.
Wow.
So that is where Plano Community Chapel now stands.
Woo!
And
I like it!
A lot of my family's been back there in the cemetery.
Amen.
My dad's is, aunts and uncles buried back there. So.
Wow. Amen, Sister Bonnie.
Take off your shoes for you standing on holy ground.
Amen. I'm glad God does govern in our affairs. You know, if it was just up to me, I'd already be in the ground.
Yeah.
God has spared me, saved me. I've turned cars over. I've wrecked motorcycles. I've gotten fights with people that could have killed me and should have, but God wouldn't let them. And, you know, I've just done it all wrong. But here we see the Lord here saying, "I am the God of thy father."
Yes.
The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. That's a good fear right there.
Yes, it is.
Fear of God, the beginning of wisdom, brings health to our flesh. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I noticed on the news, they're trying to find gender neutral pronouns to call God. They don't have much fear of God today. They better be careful in that juncture there. Boy, I'm telling you, God, he's long suffering, merciful, kind, gentle. Boy, he can stand in judgment. They're trying to find gender neutral pronouns to fit God. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. But anyway, God here gives his announcement, and Moses, he's afraid to look upon God. And the Lord says, the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt." You know, we're in Egypt today. And God has seen it. The Bible says he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. But God says, "I've seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Bible mentioned in Isaiah 53 that Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The Lord here says, "I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land unto a good land." In a large unto a land flowing of milk and honey.
Amen.
Woo! Unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hevites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, that's pretty good. God says, "Moses, I've chose you to bring my people out." He says, "Now come, therefore, and I'll send thee unto Pharaoh." Now here's that yellow streak here. You know, most men, they're big, bad, bold till they get the call on them. Here's the call of God. Moses says unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh?" He's got cold feet. "And that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt." You know, Jesus said, "Without me you can do nothing," in John chapter 15.
Right.
And the Lord's not sending Moses alone. He's going with him. But Moses ain't got all this all sorted out in his mind yet. And He's thinking, this is too big for me, God. You got the wrong one. I'm just little Moses, you remember. I was in that little ark in the river. Now down there. And I'm just keeping sheep, Lord. Verse 12, and he says, certainly I will be with you. He said, I'm not going to send you alone, Moses. Yeah. I'll be with you. Well, I don't want to go nowhere, God, not be with me, amen.
No, that's right.
Especially in this hour we're living in, oh my. God said, I'll be with you. And this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth, now God's speaking prophecy here.
Yeah.
When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Now Moses, he ain't on board. He ain't got this all figured out yet. God's already done told him. He said, you're going to bring them out. Not only are you going to bring them out, he said, you're going to serve me on this very mountain we're on right now.
That's
this
right.
Mount Horeb.
That's right.
Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what's his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am.
Right.
Boy.
Right.
That ought to have been enough for Moses.
Yeah.
And he said, thus shall I say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me.
But you know, you got to think back too, Moses had a speech impediment, you know.
That's just an excuse. Hey, Thomas.
I know it was an excuse, but
later on, when he finally got a little backbone to him,
yeah,
he put a thing in Pharaoh's face,
yes,
and said, yeah, let the people of God go. He got a little backbone. He had,
yeah,
he really didn't have a speech and problem. He just had a yellow streak.
Okay, that could have been.
But you notice it doesn't say I was. It's I am God.
Yes, amen.
He's always present tense. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The Bible said he changes not. The only change God has is he makes new creatures out of hell-deserving sinners. And Job said, till my change come, and we'll be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. But right now I am what I am by the grace of God. And he tells Moses, I'm all you need, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 15, and God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob have sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations.
Yeah.
Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, they always say, praise God. Amen. Glory to God. But they didn't get on board.
No, they didn't.
And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews have met with us. Now let us go. That sounds easy, don't it? We beseech thee, these 3 days' journey. That means we beg you, into the wilderness we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I'm sure, God's speaking here, that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that he will let you go. The Bible mentions in the book of Romans that God raised Pharaoh up to make a name unto himself. Pharaoh might not have been on board, but he got on board. I can tell you that right now. And he said, and I will give this people favor in the eyes of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. God's going to make sure They get paid for the work they've done. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. God's going to bring them out with great wealth. We'll stop right there. Boy, I enjoyed that. Exodus chapter number 2 and 3. Boy, I'm glad God's on the side of us. Amen. I know the world, they want the devil. They had him down there at the Grammys or whatever it was. They can have a devil. They can worship him all they want to, but as for me and my house, we're going to worship the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. World's in.